can handle the truth. My friends, good evening and welcome. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. It's Wednesday, May 16th, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, the only officially sanctioned website of the network. And, of course, our website, as you know, franklyspeakingradio.com. And what else? Yes, the phone number. I always forget about that. 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. We have a couple of guests lined up for you here tonight, and we will do our best to provide you with the opportunity to interact with them as the show progresses. So very, very exciting stuff. Our first guest is Angela McGlowan. Or McGlowan, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it just yet, but I'll get it down. And she's the author of the book Bamboozled, How Americans Are Being Exploited by the Lies of the Liberal Agenda. So that should be very, very interesting. I imagine she'll have a lot of insight, certainly, into the debate last night. She's a Republican strategist and a Fox News political analyst, so I imagine we have quite a bit of information to pick her brain about. Also, we will be joined by Don Wiskin from Cartivite, and their website is heartdrop.com. So you probably have heard the commercials for a while. I know I have, and I look forward to finding out more information from Don exactly about Cartivite, what it does, how it works, and so on and so forth. So it should be a very, very exciting time. Well, as I mentioned to you yesterday, it's been relatively decent weather here in northwest Arkansas, a little on the cool side at night, which I actually kind of enjoy. It's a weird sort of thing when you're trying to find a comfort zone, I guess. Sitting here in my cozy studio, as Colonel Joe calls it, which is a translation for the word small, tends to warm up quite a bit with all the equipment in here and the door shut, of course, for, acoustics sake. Even though nobody's really in the building, all it's going to take is, you know, the cat to get out here and start meowing in the background. And nobody really wants to hear that. Well, maybe some people do, but I don't. So, you know, keep the door shut, and it just kind of gets pretty toasty in here, but it's going to be in the 40s, I guess, 50s right now outside, and in the mid to upper 70s next couple days. So very excited about that. Doesn't appear to have a lot of horrendous weather, but I know some of you out there are not so fortunate. So, you know, hopefully things are getting into somewhere of a relatively calm zone where people aren't having to perhaps crank up their air conditioner to ungodly levels, and then of course get the power bill that's going to send you on your way to bankruptcy court. And, of course, the gas prices still seem to be really exceptionally and inexplicably high. I mean, there is an explanation. We've talked about it. It appears to be that's the refineries, but, you know, that's if you believe that sort of thing. We'll have to wait and see. But, again, no war with Iran, no hurricanes, no refinery explosions, and no summer driving season. But we're only a couple weeks away from that. So who knows where these prices are going to go, but people are taking a beating financially all over the place, which I think is going to draw more and more attention to politics. And, you know, it just depends on where you go. You know, Sean Hannity, for example, would tell you that the economy is fantastic. People are doing really well, better than ever before, and so on and so forth. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. In fact, I'd wager it's not, because I don't know anyone that's doing exceptionally well. Maybe it's just the people I know. But for the most part, it seems to me that if you are already well off, you're probably better off now. So, yeah, for some, the economy is doing very, very well. But I think the economic side of things may prove to be a bigger campaign issue than ever before. We'll have to wait and see. It's an expensive world out there, folks. We may talk about some of the election shenanigans as we go ahead and take a look at the debate that took place last night. So please stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes after the short break with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. As we mentioned, the big debate last night, very, very interesting stuff. Tammy from Tennessee, I believe, called in, and she chatted with us, gave us her assessment of things and said, hey, if you get a chance to watch this, you should. Well, I did. I got to actually see about an hour of bits and pieces after the show. They were rebroadcasting it on Fox, and I caught part of it. It was very, very interesting. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, basically, here is the news story. It said Fox News asked you to tell us what you thought, who you thought won Tuesday night's first in the South Republican presidential candidate's primary debate. With more than 40,000 votes submitted via text message, 29% said former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney made the best showing of all 10 GOP presidential hopefuls who made their case to the American people at the University of South Carolina's Coger Center for the Arts in Columbia, South Carolina. Texas Representative Ron Paul, who ignited controversy at the debate with remarks that U.S. policy had invited the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, came in second place with 25%. So very, very close. And from what Tammy was saying last night, Ron Paul was actually in the lead at one point, which is really interesting. It says former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who strongly admonished Paul for his comments, came in third place with 19%. Arizona Senator John McCain, who is the front runner in South Carolina polls, came in sixth with 5%. So Romney at 29, Ron Paul at 25, Giuliani at 19, Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, I know him fairly well, as far as not personally, we're not pals or anything, trust me on that, 8%. Duncan Hunter, a Republican representative out of California, 5%. McCain at 4%. Tom Tancredo at 3%. Sam Brownback at 1%. And former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore and former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, 0%. So nobody really liked those guys. Now, we'll have to wait and see how this thing happens because, as Tammy was saying, they're talking about wanting to whittle the field down a little bit of candidates, and they probably need to a certain extent, because we all know that, you know, there are the favorites and the name recognition factors to contend with. People, you know, obviously are more enamored with people that they've heard more about or seen more about and so on and so forth, but Ron Paul appears to have won some people over with that. Very, very interesting. Here's the news story from Fox News, came out last night. It said former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani won the strongest applause at Tuesday night's first in the South Republican primary debate when he lashed out at Texas Representative Ron Paul for suggesting that the United States' non-interventionist policy invited the September 11th terrorist attacks. Said Paul, in explaining his opposition to the war in Iraq, quote, "They attack us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years. We've been in the Middle East. Right now we're building an embassy in Iraq that is bigger than the Vatican. We're building 14 permanent bases. What could we say here if, what would we say here if China were doing this in our country or in the Gulf of Mexico? We would be objecting." He went on to say, quote, "They are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, 'I'm glad you're over here on our sand because we can target you so much easier.' Since that time, they've killed 3,400 of our men, and I don't think it was necessary," end quote. When he says it wasn't necessary, he's not talking about, you know, he's talking about the whole war in general. Anyway, Giuliani interrupted Fox News panelist Wendell Goler, saying, quote, "That's really an extraordinary statement. That's really an extraordinary statement. As someone who lived through the attack of September 11th, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq, I don't think I ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11th. I would ask the congressman to withdraw that comment and tell us he didn't really mean that," end quote. Ron Paul did not, eliciting a flurry of candidates seeking to get their 30 seconds to rebut him. Very, very interesting. Because, again, Rudy Giuliani says, speaking as someone who lived through the attack of September 11th, lived through it how? You weren't in the towers. You were in New York City, but so were a lot of people. And I guarantee you, if you take Ron Paul's comments and you poll the people of New York City, they've also lived through it. And they, of course, would probably concur with his statement, saying that, to a certain extent, preemptive warfare is a bad idea. I think that's pretty safe to say. It's just not working, and there's no point to it, really. We were told weapons of mass destruction. There were not weapons of mass destruction. So what was the point of the preemptive warfare? Right? Well, we could take that a number of different directions, and we don't need to at this point, but we will discuss it probably later on in our news segments after our guests are left here for the evening. But very, very interesting. So we're supposed to, of course, because Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City, that we're supposed to buy into his version of events more than anybody else's. So apparently there's a certain amount of credibility you have if you're a politician in New York, if you were in New York City when it happened, if you were in the World Trade Center towers, and then probably last on the list somewhere along the lines of if you're an American in America, and then further on down, if you're an American somewhere else. So again, as you'd expect from Giuliani, of course, invoking the September 11th thing a lot. It says, finally, Colorado Representative Tom Tancredo managed to get in his 2 cents when he responded to a question saying that reducing U.S. dependence on petroleum would not only help with global warming, but is a national security issue. He said, quote, "My dear friend Ron here, I dearly love and respect, but I will tell you I have to disagree with you, Ron, about the issue of whether Israel existed or didn't, whether or not we were in Iraq or not. They would be trying to kill us because it is a dictate of their religion, at least a part of it, and we have to defend ourselves," end quote. I don't know. I don't buy into that. And this goes into the whole issue of terrorism. Why do we have terrorism? Why does it happen? And so on and so forth. So removing all of the speculations, I guess, in certain areas, you'd have to say this. Why does terrorism exist? And they're trying to kill us because of their religion. Well, some would say it's because of our freedom. Some would say it's because of our religion. I don't know. I don't buy it, though, because there's a lot of people in the world who are not Muslim and have not necessarily been getting terrorist attacks simply because the majority of the people in their country are not of the Islamic faith. So I don't know. That seems to me somewhat myopic, I suppose. Anyway, the debate held at the University of South Carolina's Coker Center for the Arts in Columbia, South Carolina, had some feisty moments as the Republican primary candidates sought to distinguish themselves in a crowded field. Tancredo took another shot at fellow GOP candidates when he said he is surprised at the number of conversions toward his tough position on illegal immigration as well as abortion and gun control, saying, quote, "I trust those conversions when they happen on the road to Damascus and not on the road to Des Moines," end quote. So that was pretty witty, I got to tell you. And he's right to a certain extent. You know, as the immigration rallies that we saw most predominantly last year, to a much lesser extent this year on May 1st and whatnot, as we saw more and more of these gatherings going on and we saw people walking out of school and walking out of work, immigration really rose to the surface. And it was partly some of those rallies that helped people focus their attention on the illegal immigration issue. So as a result of that, obviously, it became sort of noted, if you will, and became more of a campaign issue to some degree. And so a lot of people jumping on board there with Tom Tancredo's hardline position against illegal immigration. Story goes on. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who was also able to slip in a criticism of the congressional members at the debate, saying Congress has, quote, "spent money like John Edwards at a beauty shop," end quote. That's a slam, of course, on the Democratic presidential candidate who earned unwanted scrutiny for spending $400 of campaign money on a haircut. That was a one-up to Arizona Senator John McCain, who had quipped earlier about speaking with sailors who had taken offense at being accused of ever being so drunk as to spend as much as Congress. Said McCain, quote, "We didn't lose the 2006 election because of the war in Iraq. We lost it because we and the Republican Party came to Washington to change government, and government changed us." It's a good point. He also said, quote, "We let spending get out of control. We spent money like a drunken sailor, although I never knew a sailor, drunk or sober, with the imagination of my colleagues," end quote. Or presumably with the access to the money of his colleagues as well. Former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore tried to attract some attention by calling out so-called conservatives for taking non-conservative positions. Gilmore cited Giuliani's position on abortion rights, Huckabee's decision to raise taxes in Arkansas, and Romney's mandate requiring universal health care while he served as governor of Massachusetts. Now, again, the universal health care thing is going to play a part. Now, Mitt Romney obviously can speak about something like that. That would be very much similar, as he said, non-conservative policies. And he's right, because the universal health care, or mandatory health care, as I would call it, is going to be a prominent position, I think, in the Democratic vying for top dog there in the in that party for presidential candidate. It's very, very interesting because we're watching these things come down. And again, the economy, the war, terrorism, national security, subsequently global warming, healthcare, all these issues I think are going to take center stage. And who knows what will happen. But again, with a hurricane season that hasn't even happened yet and devastating weather, a lot of talk from all over the planet about global warming, global warming, global warming. And certainly, of course, Al Gore as the shining star of the global warming movement in the Democratic Party. I do think it's going to be predominantly a Democratic issue. But it's very interesting to see the evangelical split as far as supporting the global warming push and those opposing global warming because of a lack of valid science and so on and so forth. But it goes on and on. Anyway, we'll just have to pay attention to these things. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In the 90-minute debate, answers were limited to 1 minute, and the candidates spoke quickly to make their points, win their argument, and avoid the dreaded bell that rung when their time was up. Speaking of time being up, obviously it's time for us to go to a break, so we will do so. Please stay with us. And we'll be back with more Frankly Speaking Radio, finishing up this story in 3 minutes. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. This hour is being brought to you by our good friends down at the Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to all the fun things in the area. Howard Creek Resort, the perfect family vacation spot any time of the year. Now, obviously, if you've ever stayed at some cabins, especially housekeeping cabins fully equipped, that basically means that they've got refrigerators and stoves and all that stuff. So it's really sort of an outdoorsy trip. But not so much. You know, you still got all the comforts of home, and you can go ahead and see all this for yourself on the web if you go to www.howardcreek.com. You can also call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Great stuff from Howard Creek Resort. We certainly appreciate them, and we ask you to support our sponsors and advertisers, the people who make this broadcast and all the broadcasts on the network possible. So getting back to the story, we were talking here about some interesting aspects of the debate last night, and I find this to be intriguing. Again, from Fox News, again from last night, it says, the candidates also were asked to respond to a hypothetical scenario, homicide bombings at three shopping centers near major U.S. cities. With hundreds dead and thousands injured, a fourth attack is averted when the attackers are captured off the Florida coast and taken to Guantanamo Bay to be questioned. U.S. intelligence believes another larger attack is planned and could come at any time. How aggressively should the detainees be interrogated about the where the next attack might be, about the where is what it says. First answer was John McCain, a former POW in Vietnam who opposes the use of torture. He said, quote, we could never gain as much as we would gain from that torture as we would lose in world opinion. We do not torture people, end quote. I applaud him for saying that. I'm against torture myself. Saying we do not torture people, though, is not necessarily true. McCain went on to say, quote, it's not about the terrorists, it's about us. It's what kind of country we are. And a fact, the more physical pain you inflict on someone, the more they're going to tell you what they think you want to know, end quote. I agree with that as well. I think that, you know, obviously if you're going through excruciating pain, if you know something, you're going to say it. But if you don't know anything, you're going to say something, probably something that they wanted to hear. And we've seen examples of that certainly take place recently. Giuliani had this to say, quote, in the hypothetical you gave me, which assumes that we know there's going to be another attack and these people know about it, I would tell the people who had to do the interrogation to use every method they could think of. Shouldn't be torture, but every method you can think of, end quote. He also added that could include waterboarding, which I think would be torture. He said, quote, I've seen what can happen when you make a mistake about this, and I don't want to see another 3,000 people dead in New York or anyplace else, end quote. So they're, again, invoking 9/11. Mitt Romney had this to say, quote, you said the person is going to be in Guantanamo. I'm glad they're at Guantanamo. I don't want them on our soil. I want them in Guantanamo where they don't get the access to lawyers that they get when they're on our soil. I don't want them in our prisons. I want them there. Some people have said we ought to close Guantanamo. My view is we ought to double Guantanamo, end quote. So in essence, a complete politician answer there. He did not answer about the question, which was how aggressively should the detainees be interrogated. He's like, interrogated where? Guantanamo? Guantanamo. Well, yeah, I agree with Guantanamo. I think it's great. We should build more. We should have Guantanamos everywhere. We should double the size and do this and this and this. And oh, what was the question again? Of course, he didn't say that because they didn't have time. And again, that's just typical politician stuff. You just say, what? Guantanamo? Let's talk about Guantanamo, even though that wasn't the question. So very, very interesting stuff from Mitt Romney. And he said that we ought to double Guantanamo. He's glad it's there. So obviously he has no problems with its policies, including those of torture. Hunter had this to say, quote, let me just say this would take a one-minute conversation with the Secretary of Defense. I would call him up or call him in and say to SecDef, that's his insider terminology, I assume, for Secretary of Defense, in terms of getting information that would save American lives, even if it involves involves very high-pressure techniques, one sentence, quote, get the information, end quote. So Duncan Hunter is all about some torture, saying, hey, look, if it's that important, let's do it. Gilmore said this, quote, first of all, let me say that I would go to the UN, but it would be to state an opinion and to take advantage of our rights under international law, not to ask for permission, end quote. So he invoked the UN, but at the same time backtracked and said, no, I don't mean to get their permission. I mean quite simply to find out, you know, what our rights are under international law. It's a sticky situation, folks. It really, truly is. And I think that when the intelligence agencies come out and say, we've got credible information that there's going to be another attack, okay, how do you know that? And that should be the first question. That's what these people should have said. And Giuliani was the only one saying, assuming that we know this for a fact. But what is a fact in the intelligence community? Like a fact of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, for example? So on and so forth. It just goes on and on and on. But you'd think if they have absolutely definitive proof that there is an attack, they would have some information to correspond with that proof of where, when, and how, and perhaps who. So in which case, I don't know, the whole torture thing really just, it upsets me. I don't think that, I like to think that we here in America are better than that, and I don't know that there's ever going to be a cause or a situation in which torture should be or needs to be utilized when other methods are at our disposal. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. We'll find out what our guest has to think about the Republican candidate debate taking place last night. Her name is Angela McGlowan, and she's the author of Bamboozled, How Americans Are Being Exploited by the Lies of the Liberal Agenda. She'll be joining us when we come back. Stay with us, folks. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633 on the web efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome. Morning to some of you, I suppose, and evening to others. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Our special guest this evening is the founder and president of Political Strategies and Insights, a Republican strategist, a Fox News political analyst, former legislative aide, and the author of the brand new book, Bamboozled, How Americans Are Being Exploited by the Lies of the Liberal Agenda. Please welcome to the program Angela McGlowan. Angela, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, and it's good morning.
It is good morning where you are,
yes.
Absolutely. Thanks for staying up late with us. I really appreciate it.
No, I'm very excited about the interview.
Wonderful. Let's talk about the liberal agenda, because obviously when you're talking about people being exploited, typically most people have viewed the Democratic Party as being more in favor of minorities, either, be it color, national origin, gender, all of those things. Is that a true statement? Do Democrats typically support the minorities more than Republicans?
And that's why I wrote the book Bamboozled, because Democrats stole the civil rights moniker. If you go on the DNC website, there's nothing about civil rights before 1960 except for Harry S. Truman integrating the military. I wonder why. You want to know why? Because Republicans were the ones who were doing all the heavy lifting. Republicans freed the slaves. A Republican, Eisenhower, was the first president to sign the Civil Rights Bill. So that has been the great heist, that Democrats have actually stolen the civil rights moniker. And no, they're not for equality.
Yeah, no, it certainly would seem that way. But yet, at the same time, out there in the world today, it has the appearance of it, does it not? I mean, you look at particularly what's going on and what's recently happened. You know, Al Sharpton, for example, came out, spoke very, very strongly against Don Imus because Don Imus had called the Rutgers women's basketball team nappy-headed hoes, I believe. And, you know, he came out and he was very, very much offended by this, even though Don Imus has typically said far more offensive things than that. But a lot of people viewed that as a race issue. Now, you're an African-American woman, and you're a Republican. So how do you view that whole situation? What a mess.
First of all, I don't believe that the Rutgers women called Al Sharpton number one. And wasn't it mighty just a coincidence that this Imus situation and Al Sharpton became irate 1 week before his National Action Network convention, which is his major fundraiser? Now, let's look at this issue. For the last 2 years, Al Sharpton at the National Action Network held policy panels on what is gangsta rap, not gangster, but gangsta rap doing to our community. But it took him 1 week, my friend, to take out Don Imus. And gangster rap is still on the radio now. Al Sharpton did take that movement further, and he did a picket, a boycott on Virgin Records. But gangster rap is still on our radio. So the bottom line is this. The civil rights movement has turned into a civil rights industry where Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and, you know, I don't know it for a fact dealing with the National Action Network, but Shakedown, will the real Jesse Jackson please stand up? There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it certainly seems that way. Well, let me ask you this then. Why do you think it is that the people feel reluctant to go to bat for somebody like Don Imus, even if you don't really like the guy? I personally don't care too much for him. But at the same time, I do, obviously, as a talk show host myself, I'm very passionate about the ability to speak freely. And I think that when you're using words that are in common vernacular, whether they should be or they shouldn't be, we're talking movies, songs, television even, certain words like hose, for example. Now, it obviously was not a racial issue per se, quite simply because there are women who are not African-American on the Rutgers women's basketball team. So were they saying that Don Imus only offended the black women, or what was that? But yet nobody really wanted to stand up for Don Imus per se because and this is what I'm asking you, because it was such a big issue, and a lot of the politicians kind of stepped back, except for the ones who wanted to lash out at Imus as well. What are your thoughts on that? Has political correctness become social correctness?
Well, listen, looking at the Imus situation, I'm glad that I'm not a manager of a radio station. I'm glad I'm not in the media industry from that side, because at the end of the day, in the media industry, on television and the radio, it's not about black or white. It's about green. It's about the money. And Don Imus had become a dirty little stain on the shirt of MSNBC, NBC, and GE. Because he's been, as you said, insulting people for over decades now. But let's look at the situation. Before Imus used nappy-headed hoes, the gentleman, his sidekick, used jigaboo. Jigaboo is a black term that is very, very, very ugly and very, very, very racial. However, I believe that Imus was an old white man, and I can say that. It's a double standard. I can say old white man. He wanted to feel hip and whole. It's in the mainstream media because you have 60% white males, young white males, buying gangster rap. So if 50 Cent can say ho and Eminem can say ho, well, why can't Imus say ho?
I agree.
It was at the wrong day at the wrong time, and it was the week before Al Sharpton's National Action Network. But yet, we are on a slippery slope when we try to ban the First Amendment. And that's freedom of speech, and you guys should have that right. So I said if I was the owner of a radio station, I wouldn't have had Imus on anyway, but Imus should have had the right to say what he wanted to say. Al Sharpton made it his platform because he and Jesse, they needed that to vie for their livelihood. I mean, you have Obama out there now.
Absolutely.
Where's Jesse and Al?
And Hillary, of course, too. So you've got, you know, a female, potential female presidential candidate, potential black presidential candidate. And it's very interesting because now everybody's kind of, you know, where do we go with this? I think America is somewhat bamboozled themselves. They don't know what's okay to talk about and what's not okay to talk about.
Well, they have bamboozled themselves, but I do want to go to the Democrat hopefuls. A woman, and in my book, I interviewed over 60 Republicans, Democrats, liberals, progressives, from Bill O'Reilly to Al Sharpton. I did get to interview the Reverend Al, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., and I interviewed like 20 female leaders on both sides of the aisle. And a woman is not going to vote for a woman just because she's a woman.
Really?
A woman's going to vote for a woman if she's the right candidate that represents the issues that impact women, which are all issues that impact Americans. So Hillary's poll numbers are down among women. Now, as for Obama, the black community is divided on Obama because we don't know where he stands on the issues. However, Hillary has strong support in the black community, and that's because of Bill. But if Hillary Clinton brings out her Clinton machine against Obama and bashes this black man, you will have blacks staying home if Hillary wins the nomination. So she needs to be very, very, very careful. Even though in America today we have a woman running for president, we have a black man, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are the best candidates. And I think we're going to see that play out in this election.
Well, obviously you're very skilled at your political analyst job, because that was a phenomenal insight, I think, into what we have in store for us. There is that sort of political slash social correctness that's going to be taking part in the campaigns, and it'll be interesting to see how it develops. Let's talk a little bit about the Republican debate last night. What are your thoughts on that? Now, obviously, Fox News had a poll, and they gave it to Mitt Romney as far as the 40,000-plus text message votes at 29%. Ron Paul out of Texas with 25%. What are your thoughts on these people?
Ron Paul shook things up a little bit, but at the end of the day, Giuliani won, even though he broke the rule.
Really?
By stating this. When he called that congressman to the carpet regarding 9/11, he showed that he was there on the day where the earth stood still when we were attacked. And at the end of the day, a lot of people, you can take poll numbers dealing with the referendum on Iraq this last election of 2006. But on this book tour, I've been in the heartland. I've been down south. I've actually talked to real American people, and they are concerned about our national security. A lot of people are disgruntled on the situation in Iraq, the way that it's going, but I promise you, my friend, they don't want the war over here. And by the Democrats pushing this cut-and-run deal and, you know, the redeployment, bringing our troops back home and not giving real solutions, Giuliani stood strong. Now, so Giuliani against Hillary, that's a different story, but Giuliani has an issue within the party because of his gay union stance and right to life. But as for standing strong, it was Giuliani. Now, Mitt Romney, I've said this, and Al Sharpton came out and did it. Liberals are going to bash him on his religion.
Yeah.
And that should not have anything to do with leading this country, separation of government and state. However, I mean, church and state. However, there's a rumor, and I'm not saying that this is true, but there's a rumor mill going around in the black community. The scuttlebutt is that in the Mormon religion, Mormons believe that blacks, Latinos, and Asians are descendants of Cain. Yes.
I've heard that myself, and I'm fairly familiar with the Mormon religion, if only because I've done several shows ripping that religion to pieces, as it should be, being based on Freemasonry and so on and so forth. Different show altogether, Angela. We won't go into it. But, but yeah, it will be very interesting to see how that develops. I agree with you.
Al Sharpton has already started, and then he apologized, and then he pulled back. But so I think Mitt Romney, if it was a Romney-Hillary, the liberals are going to go after him. As for Giuliani, he's going to have some issues, I think, in the early primaries moving forward with his right to life and you know, that issue and the gay marriage issue, the gay union.
Absolutely. Well, I think as far as Giuliani, one thing that kind of perturbs me about him is that there's sort of a sense of entitlement, I think, because he was, you know, the mayor of New York City, and as if it, you know, September 11th didn't affect us all, no matter where we were.
Yeah.
You know, why should he have the ability to give the definitive word on September 11th when all of us are Americans as well? So that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
As a person in Arkansas. Now, again, I may feel differently, but you're right. In a situation where you've got Hillary and Rudy running, perhaps against each other, that, you know, that card is eliminated. So we'll have to wait and see on that. So who do you think is the strongest candidate in the Republican Party?
I think that right now it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. If you would have asked me this question a year ago, I would have said McCain hands down. But something has happened there. I mean, his spark is still there, but it's not shining through like the Maverick during the 2000 election. I mean, he was on fire.
Yes.
2004, you know, he was standing back, but now it's like, what happened? Giuliani, he's standing out strong. Mitt Romney, handsome man. Doesn't he look presidential?
He does.
He's a handsome guy. I mean, you have to admit, the guy.
I'm not attracted to him myself, but I could see that he does definitely look like a politician.
Yeah, he does look like, you know, the politician. I think what could shake things up on both sides is if Fred Thompson throws his hat in.
Yeah.
And if Al Gore throws his hat in. Now watch this. What if we had, let's just imagine here, let's just fantasize. If we had a Fred Thompson Condoleezza Rice ticket and an Al Gore and Obama ticket.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be hot?
That's not a fantasy that I would have, Angela, but gosh, that is an incredible wild card to throw into the mix.
I know.
I never thought about that.
Because I really think that on the Democrat side, I really think that Al Gore, at the end of the day, he's standing back in the wings. Because I've worked in Washington, D.C., and I'm originally from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
But I've worked in this town, you know, over a decade now. And power more than money. People love power. Mm-hmm. And Al Gore, even though he's making a whole boatload of money now, mm-hmm. I think he's standing back, waiting to see what happens. Because Hollywood is divided on Hillary.
Yes.
And as for the Republican side, you know, Fred Thompson, being a movie star and taping in New York, he's been down here in Washington, D.C. an awful lot.
Mm. Wow.
So I think we need to stand back and look. But if you looked at it today, I'd say Giuliani is the front runner.
It's very interesting. All of those scenarios are just phenomenally interesting, because it would certainly make politics more interesting these days than it has been. And it's been extremely passionate. It seems to me, and you would know far better than I, that this whole serious presidential campaign has really begun a lot earlier than it seems like it has before.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
And I was speaking to some political strategists today, and on both sides, because, you know, in this town, I mean, even though I bash liberals, I'm not saying that all Democrats are bad. You
right
have
on.
Some really great
sure.
Democrats out there. And we do have some Republicans out there that are a little questionable, too. A politician is a politician. However, a leader is a leader. And a lot of the strategists are saying that they're trying their darndest to keep their candidates newsworthy because it started so early.
Yes. It really did. It's phenomenal.
Everybody's trying to stand out in a certain sense, and whether it's the immigration issue, mm-hmm. whether it's national security, whether it's the right to life, all the politicians are trying to make their own stand, and I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Americans, we have a short attention span.
We do. We absolutely do. And it's hey, look at that. I'm kidding. No, as far as this goes, do you think it began early because there are so many options on both parties, or do you think it's simply because people are so perturbed with the state, and not just the presidency, but also all politicians? Congress has low approval ratings on both sides of the political aisle, and Bush also has obviously dismal numbers and has for a while now. Do you think it's simply because the people are so tired of the current state of affairs that they would want to think about change, they want to look forward to the future, or do you think it's simply because there are so many people vying for these positions?
No, I think it's because people want to look towards the future. I mean, mm-hmm. if you go back to the 2006 campaign and the October surprise with Mark Foley and the mudslinging that went on and the bash Bush and Bush isn't doing this and Bush in Iraq and Bush lied and people are tired. People want leaders. They don't want people who whine and make excuses and play the blame game. And politics has become so dirty now that, I mean, it's, everything's up for grabs and everybody can throw everything. And especially with the internet now, it's just ridiculous. And I think that people want to change. And I think that Democrats are going to give it to Republicans in 2008.
Yeah, you
and
think
the Congress.
It's going to be? Oh, in Congress? What about in the White House? Do you think the Republicans have a chance?
I think that if Republicans take my cue with my book, Bamboozled, they have a grand opportunity of bringing more Latinos, blacks, and women to the party. Because if you look at Latinos and blacks, we are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not voting our conscience. We're voting our color and culture.
That's true.
And liberals do race baiting. Liberals play by scare tactics.
Yeah.
They don't run on policy. So if Republicans go into diversity districts, if they go into the churches like liberals do all the time, and if they talk about where we stand on the issues, I think they have a grand opportunity of not only winning the White House, but taking back Congress.
Very interesting. You don't think that the stain of 8 years of Republican sort of policies, meaning, of course, the war on terror and whatnot, you don't think that's going to hold back people from saying anybody but a Republican?
I tell you, with the Democrats and the things that they're doing now, and they are going to raise our taxes.
Yeah.
And with Nancy Pelosi leading the House and with Harry Reid, I think that they're going to give us the platform to run on that.
Wow.
We were much better when Republicans were in charge.
That's amazing stuff, and I think that it's very possible we could go that way. Obviously, we still have a long way to go. Angela, stay with us. We're going to take a short break here of 3 minutes. We come back. I want to delve deep into your book as we can in the few minutes we have, talk about where it's available, and give out your website and all that stuff as well. Folks, please stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products. also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SolayWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and here we are at the end of hour number one already. Our special guest this evening is the best-selling author of the brand-new book, Bamboozled, How Americans Are Being Exploited by the Lies of the Liberal Agenda. Angela McGlown, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, I got to tell you this. I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat.
Good for you.
Thank you. I've been called both a right-wing wacko and a left-wing wacko in the same week on the same show. So I'm kind of all over the place, I guess, as far as my personal thoughts on this thing. So I hate politics. I despise politicians, but I love to pay attention because I love to be able to pick apart, like, Mitt Romney's non-answer about torture interrogation and whatnot last night during the debate, where he just starts talking about the square footage of Guantanamo completely off base.
Yeah.
But what drives me nuts is exactly what the subject of your book is, which is how people sort of grandstand to say, oh, my party cares about you or my agenda cares about you. And that's what you're exposing. A perfect example would be Hillary Clinton, who ran away from the South after, you know, being in the White House. She ran up to New York, and Arkansans have never forgotten that. And then the Southern accent comes out as she goes and speaks in black churches and whatnot, as if all blacks, no matter where you are, have a Southern accent.
That is so patronizing to me. But what's worse is when the people say amen and clap, and they're
right.
excited.
That's right.
And they've been bamboozled because what has this woman done to create a better America?
She married the first black president.
I tell you, and last I looked, that man was very white to me. And I said, Brian Kilmeade and I were like joking with each other on Fox News. And I said, well, you know what, Brian, he has an office in Harlem. He said, yeah, he's been there all of three times.
Remember how it was supposed to be so good for the economy and everything, too.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what policies, and I know you don't like politics, but at the end of the day, we're the leader of the free world, and that's what makes our country great. And we have to ask ourselves, what policies any of these politicians have they put in place to create a better America, a better black America, a better Latino America, a better America for women? And if you look on the Democrat side and the Republican side is the best.
Well, I can't argue with the best of the two, but I'd like to hope that somebody will really step out and shine amongst the independent candidates. I mean, I really would like to see them given a shot at some point.
What about Lieberman?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, who knows what party he's affiliated with these days? You know?
He did an interview with Neil Cavuto today, and he was, you know, Neil was like asking all these questions, and he was straddling the fence.
Big surprise.
You know, if there's a great independent candidate, I'll have to see. I want to see who's. Just answer the question.
Just answer the question. Damn.
You know?
Your website is angelamcglown.com.
Yes.
Lots of great stuff there. People can buy an autographed copy there from the website, and I presume it's available everywhere as well.
It is, but mostly barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. Did you know that certain liberals that manage certain bookstores when carrying my book?
Really?
Yeah, I had to go in Atlanta. I had to actually go physically into the store and ask, why isn't my book there? I mean,
wow.
In certain areas down south, now, Oxford, Mississippi, they have it.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, Mississippi, they have it. But in Atlanta, in certain stores, they had one or two.
Wow.
San Francisco, they had one.
Wow.
Yeah, so the best thing that you guys can do if you want my book, order from barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com because you might be disappointed in some of your bookstores.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I never really thought about that.
And yet,
why didn't you run to Al Sharpton and have him, you know, play the race card for you?
Because, see, Brother Al, you know, when I sent him the book and I called him, I said, Rev, I said, have you had the opportunity to look at the book? He said, I'm in this situation, Angela. I said, did you get to even read? Said, well, I like the cover.
I like the cover.
And I'm on the cover.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, you're a beautiful woman. Hey, thanks for your time, Angela. I really appreciate it.
Thank
AngelaMcLowan.com, folks. The book is called Bamboozled, available everywhere, BarnesandNoble.com as well. And we have to pause here for a brief station identification for our affiliates. Folks, stay with us. Back with hour number two after this.